This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December 8th, 2016. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning, everyone. The open meeting for Thursday, December 8th, 2016, for the Federal Election Commission will now come to order. Before we turn to agenda items, we have a motion on late submitted documents. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I move for the last time to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of the following documents: Draft Advisory Opinion 2016-21, Great America PAC, Agenda Document Number 16-58-B, Draft B, to Reg 2016-04, Technical Amendments and Corrections-Agenda Document 16-71-A.
Is there any discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? No. Madam Secretary, that motion carries by a vote of 6-0. We'll turn then to the first item on our agenda, which is Draft Advisory Opinion 2016-21, Great America PAC, which was submitted by Michael Morley and Dan Backer. And Mr. Backer, if you'd like to join us at the witness table if we have any questions for you. We have a presentation from Joanna Waldstreicher and Bob Knopp from the Office of General Counsel. And good morning to the both of you. And when you're ready, please begin.
Thank you, Chairman Peterson. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 16-58-A and 16-58-B are alternative draft responses to an advisory opinion request submitted by Great America PAC. The requester is a non-connected hybrid political committee. It plans to hire individuals and vendors to contact potential voters through phone banks to expressly advocate the election of presidential candidate Donald Trump, or did plan to do so, and intends to engage in similar activities in future elections. It anticipates that some of these individuals will have performed similar work for a candidate or state or national party committee within the previous 120 days. The requester asks several questions about its proposed employment of persons who have previously been employed by a candidate or political party, and whether certain communications made by those employees or by the requester would constitute coordinated communications. Both drafts conclude that the proposed communications would be coordinated communications if the employees in question used information from their prior employment in their work for the committee or conveyed such information to the committee, and the information was material to the creation, production, or distribution of the communications. We did not receive any comments on the request or on either of the drafts. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that presentation. We'll open it up now to any questions that commissioners may have of counsel, any discussion, or if there is any question of Mr. Backer, who is the requester's counsel.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for Mr. Backer.
Yes, Commissioner Ravel.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Mr. Backer. Welcome. Although counsel indicated that this was the case, I would like to hear your confirmation that the requester plans to undertake materially similar activities with regard to future elections, and because given that what you've spoken about is the Trump election, and as we all know, that one is no longer a viable issue.
Yes, we do.
Do you have any specific plans for it, or it's just a general?
Well, we have thought to do so with respect to the Louisiana runoff, but because we didn't have an advisory opinion, we chose not to, and then we're considering doing similar activities, materially similar activities, with the upcoming spate of special elections that we anticipate in the first quarter of this year. Though in those circumstances, there wouldn't be Trump campaign employees. They would be former employees of the relevant state parties and candidates in those states.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Do we have any further questions? I would just ask, Mr. Backer, you've had a chance to look at the draft. Just wonder, give you your chance to weigh in and share your thoughts on the drafts as you see them before we go to any motions.
Well, the drafts provide, I think, guidance for my client in order for them to conduct their activities. We did have one concern or question that we're trying to wrestle with here, and it goes to the intellectual capital involved in training. So if you're working for the Trump campaign and you've come in and you're sitting at a computer, you're going to get a training program, how to work the software, how to do this phone banking activity, how to speak to people, etc. This is just an integral part of having people come in and do this work. And if we are hiring, if the PAC is in hiring these individuals, relatively, we feel fairly confident we can police, hey, use our scripts, not whatever other scripts you may have had. But we can't tell them, don't use this training benefit that you have previously received. It's part of their sort of experience and knowledge. And the only concern that I have is whether or not that intellectual capital of the training that they have received falls within the scope of information used by the employee in providing services to the candidate or party in the first case, and then in the second case when they're, if they're working for us. And we would like to have adequate clarity that that kind of training information, the knowledge they've gained from it, does not fall within the scope of this activity, and so it wouldn't constitute a coordinated communication.
Okay. I mean, there is language in a couple of different occasions. I'm actually looking at a red line copy that I have, so I believe this would be on page. Let me just quickly turn to it. So I'm on page 10 of the blue draft, starting on lines 2, and I think there's similar language also on page 13. Talks about if a phone bank employee disobeys the committee and uses information acquired through a previous position with the Trump campaign merely in the course of his or her conversations with a potential voter, that information is highly unlikely to be material to the phone bank's creation, production, or distribution, and therefore equally unlikely to satisfy the former employee conduct standard. And I believe on page 13 there's similar language where the commission says, the commission reiterates, however, that a single phone bank employee's use of information without the committee's knowledge seems unlikely to be material to the creation, production, or distribution of the communication. If that information is not material, the phone bank would not constitute a coordinated communication. Just the language of the – I think that that would appear to somewhat address the concern that you're identifying,
We would tend to agree, but I think the practical reality is that if we go forth with this course of conduct, we're almost certainly going to draw a complaint from the another party, a disgruntled party, or an opposition candidate, and we want to be able to have something that's a little clearer for us to rely on when those inevitable complaints arise. If that were possible, that'd be great. But we tend to agree with you that it should fall into that bucket.
Okay. Are there any thoughts or discussion on this matter? Commissioner Goodman?
I guess I asked whether there'd be any interest in that could possibly even be addressed through a footnote to satisfy the requester, but it might take a little bit more time to wordsmith it. Since we don't have an election that is imminent, would you rather that the commission take more time to address that issue specifically, perhaps in a footnote?
That would be great. Thank you.
You'd rather take more time than get this draft today?
Yes.
Sure.
I don't know what the will of the commission is with that regard, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Weintraub?
Well, my only concern about that is, and you'll help me out here, Mr. Backer, I know, because I'm sure you're more familiar with your request than I am. Was that specifically asked for? Did you specifically ask us to address that issue?
No, we didn't ask for that in the initial request, and as we've been reading through the draft over the last couple of weeks, and by the way, thank you to the Commission for extending the courtesy of the repeated extensions we asked for. It's something that we've been just trying to wrap our heads around in this, and we're trying to get to a position of real clarity on this concern, because again, we're looking at it from the perspective of the inevitable complaints that are filed against political committees, and so we want to have clear guidance that we can rely on so we know that the course of conduct that we're very likely to engage in is permissible.
I hear you, I'm thinking more procedurally. I'm not wild about the process of having requesters come in after, you know, we go through the work of putting together a response to your written request, and of course it needs to be a written request, and then at the table a requester says, oh, you know what, I thought of something else that I'd like you to address. At a minimum, I think we ought to get something in writing from you asking if you can revise your request to address this issue as well.
We would be more than happy to do so and would have no objection to it.
Okay. Commissioner Goodman?
I agree. I think we regularly take supplements, either factual supplements, predicate supplements, and sometimes even questions are modified through email exchange with the Office of General Counsel. I think that's probably the best way to proceed, so that there's a clear record for the public as well.
Yeah, and as part of that expansion of your request, and to the extent that you can not just necessarily ask for a blank check, but articulate specific hypothetical facts that would be likely to arise so that we can have something firm to grasp hold of as we answer that additional issue, that would be helpful as well.
Absolutely.
And Mr. Noti, is there anything that we should, from the kind of a procedural perspective, we should be considering as we address this?
Two thoughts. One, it would be helpful if rather than, or in addition to hypothetical facts, we had planned.
I probably used the wrong proposed facts would probably be the better term. So thanks for that clarification.
And procedurally, just in terms of timing, the deadline, the current deadline for this AO is next week. So we'll need to extend that, which Mr. Becker could do orally here today if he'd like.
Okay.
We would be happy to extend. Thank you.
Okay. Do we need to have just for procedural perspective, do we need to have a date certain of extension?
Yeah, I haven't seen the meeting schedule for January, but I would suggest a day or two after whatever the January meeting is going to be.
Okay. Okay. I'm not sure if we have the meeting schedule hammered out precisely. I don't know if there's a certain amount of time that you'd feel comfortable, you know, to be safe, you could say January 31st, but if you wanted to tailor that, we could.
I think that would be fine since we don't anticipate special elections occurring until there's vacancies, which probably won't occur until after the 21st.
Okay. So then we have an extension then to January 31st, and hopefully we can resolve it well in advance of that, and we'll look forward to your further written submission. And once we get that, then hopefully we can resolve that quickly next year. So
thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much.